Pretty much did, because she got the break, but unfortunately just been broken back. This was sent through a few minutes ago. A lot of people weighing in on your dislike of certain foods. It's good because I normally get grief about food, so I'm quite happy for you just to take this and run with it.
Yes, I would point out my brother is quite a well-known foodie, and when he started his career writing restaurant reviews in Australia, he used to occasionally mention me. He'd take me to restaurants as the ultimate test, and he used to mention me as my fussy sister. So.
Oh, I see.
I am quite selective. I would say that.
You are.
Carol in Minnesota is very much with me. I'm so with you on the dislike of sweet savoury. Whoever started the bacon on donuts thing ought to be locked up.
I'll let you know what Lady Eleanor has for dinner tonight and how fussy she is.
I've already chosen because Chris Bowers very thoughtfully sent us the menu.
I've actually already chosen as well, I think. 2-3. Pause from Sean Tech before she reaches back, rocks on her heels and serves centre of the box. The forehand thunders backwards, redirected, drops over. It's brought Goff in. And Goff fires the ball past the outstretching Sean Tech.
I wavered on the starters, not going to lie, but I was very clear on the main course.
No, I don't think I wavered on either. But I'm a creature of habit. Love 15. 2-3. And we've been there for a few years now. Sean Tech serves in the middle of the box. It's sliced back and long, and it's 15 all.
And the atmosphere's gone a little flat again here in Court Philippe Chatrier, hasn't it? It lifted. Coco Gauff got that break of serve. And we thought, oh, we're on here. The match is on here. Crowd got behind her. She encouraged them. Like a conductor waving her hand, just trying to get them to get louder. That just suddenly seems like quite a long time ago. And the ball toss just letting Iga Świątek down. We did see that a few times in earlier matches from the world number one. Struggles sometimes a little bit on the height and the rhythm with the ball toss. And she was doing it even when the roof was closed in the first week, where there was no wind. There were no external factors.
Świątek serves out wide. It is spun back down the line. Gauff scampers and slides to the backhand side, but she's defending. She's at sixes and sevens. Świątek totally in control. Finds the open court and takes the point.
If I were Coco Gauff, I'd be somewhat reassured to see Świątek struggling with something. So few signs of weakness. It's almost as if she'd found a flaw. And is busily trying to fix that as well. I'm sure it doesn't feel like that to Świątek. I'm sure she comes off court and thinks, well, I need that needs to be better. I need to do that better. That's not good enough. I need to fix that. I need to work on that.
Oh, they never stop learning.
That's what tennis players are like, perfectionists to their core.
Backhand down the line from Świątek. It's loose and off-balanced from Gauff. Game points for 3-3.
And it's hard to believe in lots of ways that Świątek is still only 23. I heard her interview where she was talking about this match, looking ahead and talking about the improvements that Coco Gauff had made in her game. And she sounded as though she was a veteran player talking about a young rookie.
And she's only just turned 23 during Roland Garros. And a fitting place for her, like her idol Rafa Nadal, to celebrate her birthday. To the scampering ball boys. They are back in position. We've had an hour and 10 minutes of play. Paulini, Ondrejva to come, not before 5 o'clock. And again, having a little trouble with the ball toss. The world number one. Serve out wide, back to her feet. Spins the ball down the line. Świątek gets a mid-court ball, cuts the backhand short. The stretch and the pass from Gauff.
Better from Gauff. Just a little look to her team. Just saying, yep, this is what I need to do. I'm still in this. Remember, we're on serve here. It kind of feels almost as though she's a breakdown because she surrendered the break-up that she was. But we're still on serve. There are still opportunities here.
Deep body serve, back mid-court from Gauff. Gauff with the forehand netted. There's the point, the game, 3-3. Looking at the live rankings, so obviously points dropped off because she won this title last year, but just to highlight how far ahead she is, how things stand at the moment with Goff up to number two, Świątek has 10,475 points. Goff, the closest to her, 7,988. And should Świątek win this and go on to defend her title, Coco Gauff will still have 7,988 and Iga Świątek will have 11,695.
My maths is not good enough to even put into words how daunting that is, but it's a chasm, isn't it?
Yeah, it's astonishing. And really the only two anywhere near her at the moment are Gauff and Sabalenka in the 7,000s in terms of their points. Then it drops down to just under 6,000 for Rybakina, who's had a torrid time, not able to defend India Wells or Rome. And then Vondrousova down at 4,500 points. She really is in a league of her own right now, the Polish player.
Jody from the US says, if Coco wants to ever win this tournament, she has to work on her serve. You say her second serve is a weakness, but honestly, it's her inability to consistently make first serves that puts her in the awful position of having to hit the weak second serve so much. Yeah, I mean, you're right, Jody. I think they play into one another. If you miss your first serve and you're not confident in your second serve, you're going to get double faults and you're going to lose points. There are a lot of players. Serena Williams is a great example whose second serves were good enough to make it not matter if she didn't have a great serving day.
Four double faults now for Coco Gauff in this match. She gets a serve down the tee, but then it's loose on the follow-up forehand. And it is love 40. And Gauff, also I think the body language of Gauff, head down, slapping the thigh, I mean she looks fairly distraught out there, fairly void of ideas or even hope.
Yeah, she's been on the back foot pretty much throughout this match. There was a moment there, wasn't there, a moment of hope when she broke serve, but as we said, that's a long time ago now, or at least feels like it.
Forehand cross court, triple break points for Świątek. Hits a heavy, flat forehand. She comes for, she let this ball bounce, Świątek. Hammer it out the sky. The stretch from Gauff. Hammered out the sky again from Świątek. And there is a break to love. And that is a 4-3 with a break lead in the second set for the world number one, who looks for all the world that she's going to equal her longest ever winning run on clay, which was 18 matches, move to 20 straight matches won at Roland Garros, and book her place back in the Roland Garros final on Saturday.
Well, I'm just trying to recall Coco Gauff's results at Wimbledon last year. Looking ahead beyond this match, if we assume that Iga Świątek will continue the way she's going and this match is likely to finish fairly shortly. For Coco Gauff, in terms of that number one race, I believe she had a pretty poor...
Well, Gauff lost to the first round.
I was going to say, she had a bad Wimbledon last year.
Then went on an absolute tear through the American hardcourt series.
So looking at Wimbledon, there's an opportunity there because she does play well on grass. She has had great results and made her breakthrough really on grass in beating Venus Williams in the first round as just a 15-year-old. So she is a player who likes that surface. I think that's an opportunity for her. I wouldn't be stunned if she, I would say, would almost be certainly one of the contenders for the Wimbledon title. She might well be my pick. So all is not lost here in terms of her year. And this is a semi-final. She knows what it's like to lose in the first round of a Grand Slam. And it is a lot better to lose in the semi-final, as much as this is going to hurt. I think that head-to-head record is going to start to punish her now, because suddenly the muscle memory of losing match after match after match to Iga Świątek, well, that's going to make this job harder and harder with every point.
4-3 with the break. Hello. Presidential Tribune behind world number one. Who serves into the centre of the box, the backhand deep from Gauff, and Gauff with the backhand down the other wing, the lofted high ball from Świątek. Gauff will let it bounce and do the overhead from the back of the court for a winner, straight past Iga Świątek, who did not move a muscle. Just to let you know that these sets up high have lost Petros and Stefanos in the quarterfinals, but the positive they take to Arevalo and Pavic, but the positive they take is they have now qualified to represent Greece at the Olympics as a pair.
Well, that is a fantastic achievement, isn't it?
So a run just when they needed it, when you think the cutoff is Monday. Miss serve out wide.
But it's hard to find opportunities to play.
Yeah.
Certainly for Petros Tsitsipas.
4-3, love 15. Goff inside the baseline, thunders that ball back onto the shoelaces of Swiatek, who suddenly got it, somehow got it back. Goff now with another four, and heavy, heavy ball, but it's coming back on the defence from Swiatek. Goff comes forward, stretches for the ball, but another penetrating ball from the world number one down to the feet of the onrushing American.
Well, Goff not coping well when she's drawn in and has to volley successive volleys, and that is down, I think, as much as anything to the way Swiatek is hitting the ball. Could not control the volley there. As Coco Gauff, we know, has qualified for the Olympics. She qualified some months ago. She'll be excited about that. Had to miss the Tokyo Games with COVID. So she will feel that she's got somewhat unfinished business.
Yeah, the four American women are locked in, all barring Pegula recovering from injury. A miss hit from Swiatek lands in. Just missing out at the moment is Emma Navarro. Keys is in there. Collins is in there. Goff is in there. Pegula's in there. They are your four who have qualified. And into the net goes Coco Gauff, 30-15. Schitzer has been upset in the men's quad singles semi-final. So Sam Schroeder, the second seed of Netherlands, he went through earlier. But Niels Vink, his country in the top seed, has lost to Guy Sasson of Israel, 6-2, 6-3. So an upset in the quad semis. And it'll be Sasson of Israel that will face Schroeder of the Netherlands in the final. So we're piecing together things as we head into finals weekend. We had the first one earlier today, where Roger Vasselin and Laura Sigmund, the mixed doubles champions for 2024. They only got together 2 hours before the cutoff deadline for entries. Forehand down the line from Goff. Goff's forward with a backhand. She doesn't control it. It flies long. Game points for 5-3 for Iga Swiatek.
Well, if you think my voice is going to give you nightmares, I shouldn't watch that volley back. Okay, Goff has may have hit worse shots in her career, but I doubt very many of them. Just got everything wrong. I think it's a sign perhaps that her brain is starting to get a little scrambled by the scoreline, the situation, the opponent. And in the photographer pit, just a little bit of movement, a couple of people moving around.
What are they doing?
Leaving it very late and then walking very slowly out of the photo pit. What? And getting a lot of dirty looks from all the other photographers as a consequence.
Absolutely. Serve out, well, what a time to move around. There's the cry from Swiatek. She is a game away from being back in the Roland Garros final.
And we should say, the photographer's pit that we're talking about, it's about as courtside as you can get. Literally a row of roses between you and the players. So any movement among those photographers is going to disrupt play. Coco Gauff is finding herself disrupted by a rampant Iga Swiatek here. This has, so far at least, played out the way the head-to-head suggested it would, the way Iga Swiatek's form this year suggested it would.
Gauff serving to stay in the singles. Missed first serve. Swiatek has won their last three meetings, all in straight sets. Is she going to make that four? Looks for all the world like it's going to be so. Goff with the second serve, gets it down the tee in the backhand return, and a sliding backhand cross-court from Swiatek, and a backhand through the middle from Goff, the off forehand from Swiatek, and then hits a forehand cross-court, another forehand, this one through the middle of the court, and the forehand cross-court from Goff, and it's netted from the world number one.
Better from Coco Gauff, going down the middle. It's quite a smart play. Took away Swiatek's fantastic movement from her. But finding these successful tactics now is a bit like finding a great restaurant on the day before you go home on your holiday. When you've been eating sandwiches all week.
This is all sounding so familiar. Oh, Ned's getting in the way, just adding to the tension.
So close to being a double fault from Coco Gauff, and we've seen a few of those in this match.
Serve into the set. Oh, hello. Shantek just teed off on that ball.
I was so disgusted with it, she marched off as if she'd had nothing to do with it. Shantek wearing this, what I think is like a tie-dye dress, isn't it? It's blue and orange merged together. It's actually not a dress, it's shorts and a top, but it's a little twin set. White down one side, the merge of colours on the other.
Serves return winner for the world number one, who wants to get the job done. And a confirmation of another score involving a Brit in the girls' doubles quarterfinal. Disappointment for the second seeds Hannah Klugman and Mimi Xiu. They've lost in straight sets to Jones and Paganetti. God, there's another Italian involved who are the fifth seeds. Taken over an Australian-Italian combination there. The backhand up the line from Gauff. Oof. And a frame shot from Świątek. And a couple of game points for the American.
That was like a foul ball in baseball from Świątek there. Yes, what price are Italian medals in the Olympics here at Roland Garros? Got to think they've got a good chance.
Well, what price titles for this championships, let alone the Olympics? Game points. Down the tee, snap back to the feet, the forehand cross court and deeper from Gauff, and she has to hold her ground here and plays the backhand down line. Thought about stepping in, but she stays just inside the baseline. Gauff going toe-to-toe Shantek, but she goes long, and the first of the game points has been saved.
And Gauff, not for the first time in this match, just finding that she can't cope with that forehand. Forehand nicely grooved. Świątek barely moving there, just hitting forehand after forehand after forehand, each with a little bit more venom on it.
Still got a game point, missed serve down the tee. An hour and 23 if you're just joining us. Iga Świątek 6-2, 5-3. Gauff serving 3-5, 40-30. Sun shining down on Philippe Chatrier, a packed Philippe Chatrier, the first of the semi-finals. Backhand cross court deep to the long from Gauff, and it's juice. Down in her haunches, struck that backhand.
Coco Gauff just dancing on her toes a little bit, trying to get a little bit of joy and self-belief back. It's been a fairly sobering and miserable experience for her today.
Serve down the tee, backhand to the middle of the court, trying to bring up another game point here. Gauff with the forehand nets. And after an hour and 25 minutes, it is match point for the defending champion to book her place back in the Roland Garros final. Świątek asks Gauff to wait. Gauff does. Now she's ready. Got to get this first serve. Gets it. Oh, the net. Right, I think everyone's had their say. Serve clips the net again.
Orly Tort did a great job there, didn't she? It reminded me of that bit in Austin Powers, which is bag of shush, bag of shush. Stefan's obviously seen the film.
Serve down the tee, back through the middle of the court. Goff inside. This is match point. Swiatek, a miss hit from Swiatek, flattened out by Goff. Goff with the forehand going cross court deep to the spinny forehand middle of the court. The off forehand winner from Goff, and the match point is saved.
Well, when she looks back on this match, I don't think it'll be with a smile. I don't think it'll be a happy memory for her, but she should remember moments like that. She's played at times good tennis. Swiatek just coming and chatting to the umpire. They're looking up in this direction. I promise you it isn't us. Whether there are people moving in Swiatek's eye line behind Goff. The end of the
flag.
Court.
The waving of a flag being distracted by. Right. Stop wafting the flag around. Juice. Serve down the tee. Oh, this net's getting involved.
Orly taught once more with her bag of shush. It's time to the flag.
Game point. Serve out wide, the backhand. Oh, it finds the court, the corner of the court. The raised fist to the skies from Iga Swiatek, who is looking to get the job done here and now. Back to Juice, nearly 8 minutes in this game played in the second set.
Don't think Coco Gauff thought that was going to land in. Rather adds insult to injury here.
Served as a good serve, but a knifing return. Cross court winner on the angle from Goff that leaves Swiatek standing. Another point to close out this game.
And that rather makes you wonder what might have been if Goff had, in particular, got that first serve in more often.
First serve is netted out wide. Second serve goes down the tee. Forehand snap back to the feet of Goff. It goes cross court in the mid-court forehand. Another forehand from Goff going down the line to the backhand that floats and sits up, brought down backhand. Goff thought about coming in, but she steps back and she was kind of in no man's land. She hadn't come forward enough. She hadn't retreated enough, so she overhits the forehand.
Almost all the clouds have receded from over centre court here, over court Philippe Chatrier.
It's good news. Juice. Serve down the tee, snap back to the feet, and the backhand is netted by Goff, and it is match point number two for the world number one and defending champion.
Well, the cloud that remains is a little cloud over Coco Gauff's head. It's coming up on the 1 hour and a half mark, 1 hour and 29 minutes.
First serve netted down the tee.
Those flagpoles sound like they're sending out a telex. Tap, 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 tap.
Doing their match report. Second serve down the tee. It's a soft one. The forehand comes back through the middle of the court. It's match point Swiatek, who will miss wide with the forehand.
Well, I hope they don't send it too soon. Because Goff is still in there fighting.
The next semi-final, it's not before 5 o'clock, which is in around 21 minutes. So you're not going to have too long a wait. Well, they bring out Mira Andreeva and Jasmine Paolini. Serve out wide. It's chopped back and it is wide. And Swiatek stares up to her box. And it is game point Goff. Go! served down the tee. The forehand snapped back through the middle. Forehand placed into the corner. Dropped over by Świątek. She knows she's beaten. And the game is won. Goff will take heart from holding serve and saving two match points. Her box, the entirety of which are on their feet. But very shortly, the defending champion of the world, number one, will be serving for her place in Saturday's final. 5-4 with the break.
Goff just doing what she needs to do, goes point by point, get through that game. That's all she could do. Make Świątek serve for it. Ask the question. Kate has emailed in, says, listening to your commentary while watching the TV on mute from the sunny Algarve. Surprised by the seeming lack of fighting Coco today. Desperate for her to grit her teeth and fight back. It seems like the Coco of a few years ago, not since her US Open win. Do you think she was just too worked up going in? And also, given the tears early, she said, it's an honest emotion, but Kate feeling that Coco Gauff has just seemed to be perhaps a little bit mentally unprepared for this match. I don't think so. I think you have to remember who she's playing and the situation that she's playing in. I don't think she was overawed by playing in a Grand Slam semi-final, because she's done that a few times.
She did look nervous at the start of the match. She was trying to be aggressive.
Sometimes you work out the game plan and you get ready and you prepare and it just doesn't fire for you.
5-4 serving for her place in Sunday's final. Backhand for Świątek. Cross court, just shortened it a little bit. And she has 3 points from the win and 3 points from winning her 20th straight match at Roland Garros.
And the tears that we saw earlier when she had a little discussion with Aurélie Tore, I think they were tears of frustration as much as anything. I don't think she was emotionally overwhelmed by playing on court Philippe Chatrier. She is a big match player.
6th Grand Slam semi-final for Iga Świątek, looking for her 5th Grand Slam final, and she is 4-0 when it comes to the championship match. 5-4, 15 love. Serve into the centre of the box and the body, it's a mid-court return, and then a rare unforced error from Iga Świątek, lofting the forehand long when she'd got Goff going the wrong way.
Little moment of weakness there. There haven't been many of those for Goff to cling to.
Serve out wide, hooked back deep. You heard the cry, Aurélie Tore, because of the point it's at, will scamper across the court. Just bring some clarity and confirmation. There we go. Goff sees the finger pointed skywards. And Iga Świątek is 2 points from the win. First serve into the net, looking to go down the tee to try and get an error off the Goff forehand. Hour and 34 on the match clock. Sun still shining down on Philippe Chatrier. Semi-final day. Your semi-final tomorrow afternoon will be Carlos Alcaraz and Yannick Sinner. And then not before 5:30. So that was not before 2:30. Not before 5:30. Casper Ruud against Sasha Zverev. Iga Świątek couldn't capitalise on the two match points on the Coco Gauff serve. Now has two on her own to get back into the Roland Garros final. 5-4, 40-15. Świątek winds herself up into the second serve at match point. Out wide she goes. Forehand thunders to the feet and she gets a short ball Goff to work with. She goes backhand cross court. Cross court the backhand goes Świątek. Squash shot from Świątek. It will land long. That's another match point saved.
Goff just turning to her team, clenching the fist. She hasn't given up the fight.
Four fourth match point for Iga Świątek, the world number one. The second in the service game. Apologise, it's not happy the ball toss as a pigeon flies over the court, casting a shadow on the clay. Świątek serves too deep. Cuts that ball away to the ball boy because she has another ball tucked inside the short to the left-hand side that she will use. Trying to get it done. Fourth match point. Serve down the centre, the forehand through the middle of the court. Goff with her forehand crunches it long. And the arms are aloft from the world number one, Iga Świątek. It's taken her an hour and 37 minutes. A straight set, 6-2, 6-4 win. The only set she's dropped was to Naomi Osaka, where she was match point down. Since then, she has been ruthless. And she is back in the Roland Garros final. She has 20 matches unbeaten here. Her longest unbeaten run on clay is equaled with 18. She is the two-time defending champion. And she's through to her fifth Grand Slam finalist, Coco Gauff. Takes the applause from the crowd. She'll have to reset and go again in the doubles. Still very much fighting on in that with Katerina Siniaková. But the task was a tough one. The task was too much. And Iga Świątek is back in the Roland Garros final.
But not a surprising result given the head-to-head. Not a surprising result given how good Iga Świątek is this year. She's in her moment, isn't she? She's in her pomp right now, and particularly here at Roland Garros. Phenomenal stats and another incredibly impressive performance from the world number one. Perhaps a day to forget for Coco Gauff. Didn't serve quite well enough, didn't string enough good points together, but that's very easy to say. Much harder to deliver on when you're playing someone of Świątek's confidence, Świątek's ability, Świątek's attacking prowess. Gauff will have many other moments in the sun.
It's really not a good matchup, though, is it?
It's not a good matchup, but that matchups can change. Coco Gauff is still emerging. I wonder if she might consider doing something radical with her serve like Sabalenka did. But right now, we're going to hear from Iga Świątek. She's going to be talking to Mats Wilander.
Merci beaucoup. Iga, congratulations. You're into yet another Roland Garros finals. It was very excited after you won that match. How does it feel?
Yeah, for sure it was intense. In the second set, kind of tight because we were breaking each other. But I'm happy that I just, you know, was consistent with my tactics and didn't overthink stuff and just went for it at the end.
Coco Gauff obviously is younger than you. You played her in a couple of years ago in the finals. A few words on what you think of Coco's progress as a player.
Well, I think she is progressing a lot, you know. You can see by her results, you know, last year's US Open for sure showed that she's tough. And yeah, well, I think at this age, you know, it's kind of obvious that she's going to just grow. So it's nice to see her, you know, handling well everything around her. And yeah, because it's not easy. So I'm sure we're going to have plenty more, you know, really intense matches on the highest level because Coco is, you know, also one of the consistent players out there. So yeah.
Wish her good luck for sure. It seems Naomi Osaka in the second round, she had a match point. And you were maybe tired afterwards, but something changed after that or not? Because you've only lost 14 games in four matches.
Well, yeah, I don't know if...
Yeah.
For sure, you know, something changed. I would say I just adjusted better to the court. And, you know, it's not easy to play these first matches on a Grand Slam because the atmosphere is much different. Sorry, I'm hearing myself. Because the atmosphere is much different on other tournaments. And against Naomi, for sure, I didn't have time to kind of get into it. She just was intense from the beginning and put pressure on me. So I'm happy that I handled it well. And after that, you know, the weather changed also. So it helps my game, I feel. And I just gained confidence, I would say.
They definitely did. Definitely did. So you have a day off before your finals. Do you have certain things that you have done in the 3 years when you won Roland Garros? You do the same thing on Friday?
No. You know, for the first years we played here during COVID, so there wasn't much to do. We were in quarantine. I mean, not quarantine, but we were kind of, you know, staying in the hotel, not really going out. But now I'm trying to mix it up a little, because how long can you stay in, you know, the same routine? So yeah, I'm doing, you know, a little bit more like socializing, and but overall, still, you know, I'm that kind of player that likes to stay in the bubble. So I want to balance it well, but for sure I can adapt a little bit. Add a little bit more of that, because it's easier for me to like turn on and off in terms of the focus and, you know, thinking about tennis.
Well, you turned it on today. Iga, thank you very much. Congratulations. Allez faire pour la finale. Iga Swiatek.
Fourth Roland Garros final in 5 years. She's a three-time titleist here. She's now 11-1 against Coco Gauff. She has just turned 23. Wow, I think is all you can say about Iga Swiatek. She knows what she has to do. She goes out and she executes. And whatever went on in her mind during that match against Naomi Osaka has made her stronger and tougher and more resilient than ever.
Yes, I mean, she may only be 23, but she is a player for the ages. And what we're seeing now is a player who, as I said, she's in her pomp. And she has that feeling, that aura of unbeatability. But Naomi Osaka showed that you can break through that aura. There are ways to rattle her. There are ways to beat her. Swiatek will now leave the court and go and complete her media interviews at the side of the court. She's going to talk to French TV first. I'm sure Polish TV will want to talk to her. I'm sure everybody will want to talk to her. That's what happens when you're world number one.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Well, we had every intention of telling you and describing to you exactly how our semi-finalists for the second of the semi-finals made it through to this stage. But rather quicker than anticipated, Mira Andreeva and Jasmine Paolini are in the corridor, deep in the bowels of Court Philippe Chatrier. They are going to be introduced to a pretty sparse Court Philippe Chatrier very shortly. Of course, a lot of people have nipped out to have something to eat and drink just to stretch their legs. It's a pretty warm afternoon, certainly if you're in the sun. It is hot today. We've seen Iga Swiatek book her place in the final once again. The big question, will she be up against the talented teenager who has caused a sensation over the past few days, or the pocket rocket from Italy? It's time for Mira Andreeva to be introduced.
Voici Mira Andreeva.
Extraordinary to think that she's still only 17 years of age. She was a qualifier here last year. She'd never been past the quarterfinals of a WTA Tour level event. And now she's in the last four at Roland Garros. Her progress has been a surprise. And it has to be said that Jasmine Paolini's has as well, as she climbs that steep staircase. Usually got a huge grin on her face. Very charismatic, but right now, very businesslike ahead of the biggest match of her career at the age of 28.
Celle qui est 13e mondiale, déjà remporté deux tournois dans sa carrière, mais c'est sa première demi-finale en Grand Chelem, l'Italienne Jasmine Paolini.
And what a fortnight it's been for the Italians. For the first time ever, they have a man and a woman in the semi-finals of the singles at the same slam. We'll be turning our attention to Jannik Sinner tomorrow. We expected him to be here come the latter stages. Jasmine Paolini may be 12 in the world, but this is unexpected. It's a fascinating semi-final as a result. They've got to forget that Iga Świątek is awaiting the winner. We know what she can do, and Coco Gauff has discovered that once again. Before you worry about that, just focus on the situation here. Alison Hughes is our umpire. We'll hear from her shortly, and then we'll hear from Simon Cambers. I'm Marcus Buckland. Great to have your company wherever you are in the world. So glad you're listening to this semi-final on Radio Roland Garros.
Moving a little bit to the net.
That's Alison's voice. Pictures being taken.
Mascots are almost as big as Paolini.
So, ladies, same conditions in the previous matches, just a few reminders.
It's not an exaggeration. I mean, she is only 5 foot 4 inches in height.
I can ask you to use the orange, please, and the blue, please. Do you have any questions, ladies? Okay. Ball or player?
Player.
Player?
Andreeva calls player.
Okay. It's player. Receive.
So Andreeva is going to receive. She heads down to the president's box end. Jasmine Paolini comes towards us. We're in our usual position on the fifth level of this wonderful media centre at Roland Garros by all the greats of the sporting world from years gone by. Chris Evert just popped by because Alex Krejci's a couple of doors along. You look around and there's someone famous. You miss Chris Evert in a wonderful pink suit.
Love Chris Evert.
Annabel Croft is here, former British number one. But Simon Cambers is the most important man here because he is going to tell us exactly what's going to happen in this second semi-final.
Well, I think the chances are it'll be closer than the first one. Even though I think Coco Gauff fought really hard and actually played well, I think this one you'd imagine would be closer. Andreeva, it'd be hard not to have some nerves on a day like this in your first semi-final. But it's the same for Paolini too. I think they both have played great to get to this stage. I know they played each other in Madrid recently and Andreeva got the better of Paolini, and I sort of feel like Andreeva has this match, has the edge, but it's going to be fascinating to see who handles the occasion the most, because as we know, in these circumstances, that's half the battle.
It is, and there are so many fantastic statistics surrounding this match. For example, there's an 11-year age gap. Now, that is the biggest at Roland Garros since the semi-finals back in 1985, when the aforementioned Chris Evert was the ripe old age of 30. Her opponent, Gabriela Sabatini, was only 15. Back in those days, we did become more accustomed to youngsters, to teenagers going deep. I've compiled a list here, Simon, of other prior to Mira Andreeva, who reached a Roland Garros semi-final before turning 18. You've got Andre Jaeger in 81 and 82, Sabatini 85, Steffi Graf 87, Sabatini again in 87, Natasha Zvereva in 88, Mary Jo Fernandez 89, Arantxa Sánchez Vicario 89, Monica Seles 89, Seles did it in 90, Jennifer Capriati did it in 90, Seles again in 91. So it was par for the course then. But since then, Hingis, 97 and 98, Nicole Vidasova, 2006, and Amanda Anisimova in 2019.
I think a lot of that can be explained by the change in the eligibility rules, so that players can only play a certain number of events until they get to 18, designed to protect them, to create better longevity in the sport. And that can only be a good thing. Until that changed, I think Hingis was the last. She snuck in there before it happened. But they, in recent years, they really tightened it up. So Coco Gauff couldn't play that much when she was 15, 16. And Andreeva also. She's had the situation when she was 16 last year. She was saying, well, I can't actually play that much. I can only play a few here and there. But it's not hurting her. And if anything, it'll hopefully mean that we get to see her much more over the years, because she's a phenomenal player. I've got all the time in the world for the way she plays. And she's also a great personality off the court. She's a lovely speaker. She seems to have a really nice sense of humour. So she has all the makings of a superstar, just as some of those names you mentioned before.
Absolutely. And you look at the women's game, I know that Coco Gauff has come up short again today against Iga Świątek. There is no disgrace in that. She's only 20. There are other youngsters lurking with intent. We hope, with our British hats on, that Emma Raducanu can rediscover the form that took her all the way to the US Open title in 2021. By the way, Andreeva today is the first player since Raducanu to reach her first WTA Tour level semi at a slam. So she's following in her footsteps to some extent. And I know, of course, that Raducanu is working as hard as possible to get ready for the grass court campaign. There is going to be a lot of pressure on her shoulders, I would suggest, Simon, but that's something we'll turn our attention to a little later.
I think the problem for all of them is that Świątek's only just turned 23.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like she's 30 and on her way out.
It's terrifying. And we talk about Chris Evert, and Billie Jean King wants there to be a statue of Chris Evert here at Roland Garros to mark all the astonishing feats that she managed on this surface in particular. I know there's a long way to go, but Świątek, who adored Rafael Nadal, is very, very quickly racking up her titles here, isn't she?
Well, I mean, she's already got three. She's got every chance in the world to make it four. Chris Evert won seven. And talking of Nadal, you see Świątek's celebration now at the end is semi-Nadal, isn't it? A big fist pump, or a jump up in the air, and all this get the crowd going. It's interesting. It's 50 years since Chris Evert won here for the first time, beating Olga Moritzova in the final, and then won Wimbledon. And she won the doubles with Olga here as well. It's amazing to think of all these great champions we've had.
Well, Court-Philippe Chatrier is starting to fill up again. The players are ready, and I suspect after the first three games there'll be a flood of fans coming back into the stadium court, having refreshed themselves on this beautiful Parisian afternoon. The horrible weather of week one, fortunately, is but a distant memory. As Jasmine Paolini gets us underway with that mop of frizzy hair, which is controlled in a ponytail. She's wearing a lime-coloured skirt, light top. She's putting her first serve into the net. And down at the other end, the tall Mira Andreeva, she's around 5'9" in height, is wearing the same outfit that's got her through to the semi-finals, and she's playing an off forehand to get us underway. And now going down the middle of the court to the forehand of Paolini, who will then, on her backhand, attempt to go across court, but puts the ball into the net, and the first point of the contest goes the way of the receiver.
Andreeva's rise to this point is pretty amazing, isn't it? I think it was only last year's Australian Open when she played that epic junior final, and then suddenly she gets to the third round here as a qualifier, does well at Wimbledon as well. And her maturity, both physically, she's really grown in strength, but also just in the way she carries herself, it's clear that she's ready to be at this stage.
Formed a fantastic partnership very quickly with Conchita Martinez, former Wimbledon champion, the woman who was at the side of Garbina Muguruza during her great success over the past few years. As Andreeva, who missed a return with the second point and misses another there to give Paolini 30-15. They only started working together in April. It's worked. Although interesting yesterday to hear Andreeva say when asked about the tactics, well, we talk about things, but actually I forget it all when I go out on the court.
I can't remember anything.
I'm not sure what Martinez thought about that particular comment, but it's a reflection of the 17-year-old that she is. Now, forehand cross-court from Paolini, having to hook everything quite high up because of her diminutive stature, of course. Then she plays the drop shot. Andreeva read it, came in, but puts her backhand long.
Big fan of Andy Murray as well, of course. Mira Andreeva, half wondered if Andreeva might, or even if Andy might ask her to play mixed at Wimbledon, because this could be Murray's last Wimbledon, may very well be, and he might fancy doing a bit of extra duty on his singles.
Well, we're talking about age gaps. That worked that out. 20 years between those two. Her serve is missing. And, I mean, she's risen so quickly. I was talking to Victor Friedrich, one of the British juniors, who is a little older than her, as Paolini serves to the backhand and then plays a forcing forehand cross-court down the line, but wide from Andreeva. So Paolini holds to 15. She'll settle herself. Vic has known Mira for a while. They have social media contact, or at least they did, and I saw him just now. He's very frustrated because his partners had to pull out. They were due to play a doubles quarterfinal this afternoon, but he picked up an ab injury. So he's bitterly frustrated about that.
Shame.
But he was saying, I'm just wondering if I'll pluck up courage now to make contact with Mira again.
Oh, it's got to be worth a go, isn't it?
I'd have thought so.
She won't forget.
Hopefully not. I mean, one of the nice things that Conchita Martinez said when describing her was that she's very humble, she's very polite, she says good morning to everybody. And if Conchita Martinez has got anything to do with it, that will continue to be the case.
There's a message from Richard saying, our strange Aussie TV coverage continues tonight with our local broadcaster showing the first semi and then dropping out just this minute for an episode of the American true crime show See No Evil. Instead of the second semi, thank God for Radio Roland Garros.
Interesting. Interesting editorial decision. Now Lini is seeing her forehand go into the net with the first point on the Andreeva serve. I'm going to make an apology in advance. I've picked up, I don't know if it's hay fever or a bit of a cold, Simon. It's that horrible time where I may occasionally have to remove my microphone and blow my nose. So be on standby if you don't mind. I don't want to snuffle all over the world with everybody. High short return. Andreeva comes in. Doesn't really take full advantage of the short ball. And then she has an air shot. Misses it completely.
I mean, the ball shot low, didn't it? We saw one point the other night where the ball barely bounced. It actually just hit the clay and skidded completely through. I can't remember when that was, but it was... you will get dodgy bounces. There are some.
Well, Zverev got certainly one of those last night when he was looking to return the ball. I mean, that's always my excuse, even if I'm playing on a pristine hard court. Did you see... How does it... I mean, I don't know what happened, but... It was the bounce.
It's always the bounce, or the racket.
Of course it is. Off backhand now from Andreeva. She's going to the forehand side. She's going down the line with good depth and even better depth from Paolini. In fact, well, I'm not surprised that Andreeva has stopped the point. There was no call. Alison Hughes is coming down with the naked eye. It looked as though Paolini had gone long.
I watched... it is out, isn't it?
Yep.
I watched Dumanoir the other day. I thought... I was watching, not last night, but the round before against Medvedev, and he was... Some players are able to do this. There's a shot on the baseline, and he's sort of looking down as he hit it, and then he saw that his shot was going in, and he had another look while he was getting ready to play. And the time these guys have got.
Yeah. I mean, I did enjoy... It's interesting, actually. I'll come back to you on that match last night because there have been mixed opinions about it. Right, backhand from Paolini down the middle of the court. This pattern's continuing until she goes across court to the double-hander right onto the baseline. That's a winner for Andreeva, but that's skidded up. No need for the umpire to go and check the call. The point goes to the server and she goes to 40-15. I found last night really interesting. I mean, I just love watching... Dumanoir because he's a whirlwind.
So fast.
I read a couple of reports. People go, oh, what a shame both players were so off form. I thought that was very, very harsh.
Yeah, I didn't think that at all. I thought Dumanoir played very well. I think he explained afterwards how tough it is to play Zverev in cool conditions.
Drive volley gives Andreeva the point and the game, so it's 1-1 after 5 minutes.
Because Zverev loves clay, he loves cool conditions because he's 6'6" or whatever, 6'5", able to hit through the court anyway. And for Dumanoir in those conditions, he couldn't do it. But I thought his speed was... I mean, I've watched him a lot, but his speed is phenomenal. Yeah. He was in about probably 50 rallies that he shouldn't have been in.
Yeah.
And he was aggressive too. He came forward well. I thought he did everything he could. He just didn't quite... If he'd taken that second set, could have gone on forever.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to, I have to say, backhand into the net with the plus one from Paolini. First point of the third game. Equally, I'm very impressed with the way Zverev is dealing with everything, and I know lots is going on in his life. He's had to come through 2 5 setters as well. Backhand cross court return from Andreeva. Now she's playing the forehand to the forehand side of the Italian. Down the line from Andreeva. High kicking ball down the middle of the court. Now the forehand cross court from Paolini. Up the line again from Andreeva. Good ball. It's put Paolini into trouble, and in comes Andreeva and puts away another very good forehand volley. She's pretty good at taking things out of the air.
You know the thing about Andreeva as well, she waved her fist in the direction of her team then, but she's not one to sort of look at her team every shot. She's not so worried about all that kind of thing. And that bodes well because you need to be yourself out there. You're on your own. You've got a lot to deal with, a lot to figure out. And she's got such a great composure. I know sometimes she can go absolutely crazy on court. She certainly used to. But she seems to have got rid of that.
So an interesting outburst from Coco Gauff in the first of the semi-finals as the off forehand from Paolini brushes the line. Andreeva's having a look at it, but she's not going to quibble, and it's 15-30.
I thought Gauff was correct on that point. She said that the call, which was overruled, had come before she hit the ball, and I think she was correct. And also, you know, it was, even if it hadn't, it was very harsh to give the point to Swiatek.
Returns long from Andreeva, so it's 1-1, 30-30. I mean, Coco, she can get quite feisty, and listening to Gigi and Eleanor, of course, doing the commentary. There were tears in Coco's eyes at the end of that exchange.
We were just talking about that in the media room. She doesn't like confrontation, although she will stand up for herself really well. When it happens, she'll get emotional, and that's totally understandable because it is, you know, what she said to the umpire was, this is a Grand Slam semi-final, the rules.
Yeah. Forehand return into the net from Andreeva off her return, and to be fair to Aurélie Tort, she's a terrific umpire who does know the rules, but I think we can forgive Coco.
I think there is a good example of one of the pieces of technology that should come into tennis, is the umpire should have video technology just to look back at that call and see, oh, yeah, you're right, it did come before. OK, play a let.
Great shout. And not that difficult to organise, really. 40-30, Paolini, with 118 kilometre an hour second serve. It was to the backhand of Andreeva, who's now sliced a forehand deep. She goes cross-court with a flatter ball, so does Paolini. Andreeva's there again, maintaining the same rhythm until Paolini goes down the line, forcing Andreeva just to lunge at that one. She can't control the ball. We've had three games. We've had three holds of serve. We're 9 minutes in, and we have no idea who's going to play Iga Swiatek in the final tomorrow. Well, actually, no one's going to play her in the final tomorrow because it's not happening until Saturday. We've got two men's semi-finals to bring you on Radio Roland Garros tomorrow. And, of course, we'll be here for the final on Saturday afternoon.
I shouldn't mention the technology on the day that the Premier League vote to keep VAR. 19 of the 20 voted in favour.
Who was the one team?
Wolves.
It was Wolves. Good on you, Wolves.
Wolves are the one who asked for the vote in the first place. I think they've issued some sort of guidance as to making sure that the level, the threshold for getting involved should be high, etc. But it needs to be better run, that's for sure. So,
what I don't understand about that, though, Simon, is that there have been so many complaints and so many managers going crazy. Supporters hate it. Why didn't one other club at least back Wolves?
Yeah, I don't know whether it's just the details of what they were suggesting. I think a lot of them want the correct decisions to be made. If you knew that it would be made within 30 seconds and it's not going to get involved in shady offside rules, there is going to be that semi-automatic offside rule that comes into football next year. I think when you've got technology in sport, you just want a quick, correct decision. You can't have wrong decisions even when you've got the technology, and you can't have shady ones. So that's why I think they haven't brought it in yet for second bounce. For two bounces in tennis, for example, because that's still, even when you look at it on the screen, you're not sure.
No. And the other scandalous thing about that, as Mira Andreeva goes long with her plus one shot, first point of the fourth game. The other scandalous thing about that is that certainly if you go to a Premier League game, you pay a lot of money. And when there's a VAR incident, you sit there having absolutely no idea what is going on. And tennis at least gets it right. When there's a quibble, when there's a dispute, we can all watch on the screen. Very quickly, it's resolved. And the paying public, who are sometimes, I think, totally overlooked, know exactly what's happening. And they've got to sort that out in the stadiums. That looked a very, very deep second serve from Andreeva, but it's called in and the backhand returns long.
Yeah, I mean, you just want it to be right and you want to know what's going on. And I think that was one part of the agreement, that it should be clearer. The referee will tell people what's going on, but we shall see.
Mind you, you know, the other one strange thing, we will not talk football. This is a tennis semi-final. Andreeva goes along there. Going to Anfield, your ground the other day, you haven't got any big screens.
Who needs big screens?
for exactly the times we've just been talking about. It's a wonderful stadium as Andreeva goes wide.
You can't let other fans know if a dodgy penalty might have been dodgy.
Well, that's exactly what it is. More dodgy penalties given at Anfield over the past 30 years
not
than
true.
Anywhere else, or maybe rivaling Old
totally
Trafford.
Totally not true. Maybe Man United is like 10 times worse than Anfield.
Okay, Liverpool, Man U, they hate each other.
We had a period of about 2 years with no penalties.
Well,
penalty.
We only had one last season,
I think.
You have
to get in the box first.
It's 1-2, 15-30, forehand, wide, cross-court and wide from Paolini.
We haven't talked much about Paolini yet. I think, you know, she's had an incredible run to the semi-final, guaranteed to be in the top 10 after this. Had a very good clay court season all round. I think one in Dubai as well.
Yes.
Just looking at the picture of, I think, Svetlana Kuznetsova in the stands, in the box, watching Andreeva. But, yeah, I mean, she's not to be underestimated in this match by any means. And the thing I like about her, and the thing that makes me think that she will not freeze on this occasion, and she's certainly not already, is that her game is very much suited to just, you know, playing consistently, used a lot of spin, a lot of margin over the net. She's not going to blast loads of unforced errors. So the onus is on Andreeva to attack, but Paolini will just play her game.
Well, Paolini has an opportunity here to make the first inroads into this semi-final because she has a breakpoint opportunity. Andreeva's serving at 1-2, 30-40. Bright sunshine. Looks up and goes long with that first serve, which is flicked back to the other end of the court by Paolini. A ball boy nips out from the corner, grabs it. He's in position. The second serve comes. Paolini